I guess you're in the same boat as I am. You ain't got it all figured out yet. Oh, but I will understand it better by and by. And when I do so, there'll be a lot of things missing on that day. Oh, there's some things missing in this life. But, oh, there only the bad things will be missing. Everything that is good, everything that is right, everything that is holy will be present. And, oh, what a day that will be. If you got your Bibles this morning, we're going to the book of Ecclesiastes. On this last day of 2023, I want us to take a little time this morning, not too long, but a little bit of time, to consider where we are and where we are going as believers. I'll be honest with you here recently, I've been battling some sinuses and different mess, and my voice is right on the edge of trying to go out on me, but I'm just going to teach or preach however this comes out this morning and try to save my voice as much as possible also so I can come back tonight and have something to say to you. As much as some people may think it is, it might be a blessing and a curse for me to lose my voice, but nonetheless, I'm going to endeavor. With a preacher without a voice isn't much good, so I'm going to endeavor to keep it as much as possible today, but I do have something to say to you nonetheless, and I feel like what I have to say this morning is worth sharing my voice with you today. We're going to consider here a verse, just one verse of Scripture to begin with. We're going to consider other verses throughout the course of this message, but one verse to begin with, written by Solomon in his old age, a man who had tried nearly everything, and he expresses that in the book of Ecclesiastes. He had tried a lot of different things, and when he comes to the end of life, and he has tried, and he has sampled, and he's tried wisdom, and he's tried pleasure, he says, I have discovered that all is vanity underneath the sun. All is chasing after the wind, as one translation renders it, and I like it. A man who had tried nearly everything and has come full circle in life, realizing that all that life presents as fulfillment is nothing more than vanity if it is not enjoyed in the fear of God. And, you know, some people come to that conclusion a lot earlier in life, some people later in life, but Solomon did so both in the beginning and the end of his life. He had two opportunities there. And I want to read one verse of Scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8, on this last day of this year. Tomorrow will be a new year, but let's look at it together. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8, I've never preached from this verse before, but I do have some thoughts from this verse, and it kind of came to my mind, and I'll try my best to share them with you the way the Lord laid it into my heart. But Solomon says these words. If you got it, Ecclesiastes 7 and 8, say amen. Solomon writes as an older man. He says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I want to focus in on that first phrase. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. While we know that Scripture is inspired and thus it is infallible, or it is free of errors, let me say that this statement about the end being better than the beginning does not have a universal application. Because there are some things that are worse at the end than at the beginning. The end, for example, of an unbeliever's life isn't better than the beginning. For example, Adolf Hitler was once a young, innocent baby, but the end of his life was far from better than the beginning. As Psalm says in chapter 37 and verse 38, but the transgressors, shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But there is an application here and a couple good illustrations just from life itself. One thing I thought about is that of a gardener. I'm not much of a gardener. I don't have a green thumb, but I know people who enjoy gardening. They enjoy going out planting things, and they may enjoy the fruit that comes off, but I'm going to tell you something. You have to enjoy more than just the fruit to be a gardener. You have to enjoy the process, because I enjoy the fruit that comes out of the garden, but I don't necessarily enjoy the process that it takes to get there. I'd rather go down to the grocery store and buy it for myself. That's just the way I am. But some people enjoy gardening. Oh, they start out, they break up the soil, they plant the seeds, they fertilize those young plants as they begin to sprout up. They'll take people into their garden and they begin to show them around. They'll say, man, look at this little plant over here. Man, we've known people like that, right? I remember my mom, she's like that. She enjoys growing things and she'll take you over there to those little plants, and she has this little indoor greenhouse light thing that she grows all these little plants. She'll take me over there and look at all of them, and it's cool, but it's not my thing, but it's her thing. She enjoys it. But all the work that goes into it, and after all of the work, pulling the weeds, protecting the plant, killing the insects, then comes the fruit. The end is truly better than the beginning, right? And I would tell you, even gardeners would tell you that. Something that I do enjoy, I don't do very often, is hiking. And I will tell you, you have to enjoy hiking to go on it. My wife doesn't enjoy it, so we don't go on very many hikes together. But I do enjoy it. I enjoy it. But the thing I enjoy about it is not necessarily the sharp rocks or the steep inclines or the sharp precipice that may lead off beside the trail. It's when you get to the end of that trail and you see the thing for which you walk 3 or 4 or 5 miles to see, whether it's a waterfall or maybe it's a valley overlook, whatever it is, it's amazing. I remember a few years ago, I actually hiked up there near Brother Derek's church where he's pastoring now, and there's a ridgeline. It's Massanutten Mountain. I hiked across that ridgeline. It was about a 5-mile hike, and we got to the end of it. There's a lot of rocks in between, but we got to the end of it. There was this overlook, and you could look down over the entire Shenandoah Valley. For about 40 or 50 miles, you could just look out in every direction. The end of it was better than the beginning. And that's what Ecclesiastes is telling us here. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. This statement is true of all things which proceed according to God's plan and order. When God begins them, enables them, and concludes them, in this case, the end is truly better than the beginning. And as I've considered this phrase here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, there are 4 considerations. I want to share them with you. I want to leave them with you. And hopefully we can put them into practice in this coming year. But I want to share these 4 things. First of all, as I consider what it means for the end of a thing, as we're on this last day of this new year, to be better than the beginning, as we come to the close of the end of another year, let's consider that we are still safe in spite of whatever oppositions we have faced in 2023. My first consideration is this: we are safe thus far. I thought about that the other day, or maybe yesterday. I was just thinking about these things. I said, Lord, another year is about to come to a close. And for some people, it's been a much busier year than others. Some people have faced things this year that you've never had to face before. Maybe perhaps some difficulties that you never saw coming. But yet, nonetheless, we stand here at the end of 2023, and we can declare by the grace of God, we have been bought safe thus far. On January 1st, 1773, a hymn was introduced to a rural congregation. It was written by a man who was once a slave owner who converted to Christianity, and his name was John Newton. This hymn, still one of the more famous and familiar hymns, was simply titled Amazing Grace. And on January 1st, 1773, it was presented to a rural congregation. And now about everybody in this room can quote the main verses of that hymn this morning, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. And in this great hymn, Newton describes grace in regards to his past in salvation, his present in the midst of danger, and his future when he shall go to be with God. We often sing the words to that one chorus to that hymn, and it goes like this: through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I can testify that in this last day of 2023 that it has been grace that has brought me safe thus far. I look back and I see dangers, I see toils, I see snares, I see pitfalls that the enemy has tried to use even in this past year, but I stand to you before you today declaring we are safe by the grace of God. Safe thus far. Oh, Newton once penned these words to a friend at the cycle of a new year. And as he was getting ready to enter into this new year, he wrote to his friend and said this. He said, "This new year finds me employed. I compare it to a hill on the road, from the top of which I endeavor to look back on the way that the Lord has led me thus far through the wilderness of the past. I look around to contemplate the difference His goodness has made between my present situation and that of thousands of my fellow creatures. I then look forward and perceive that I am dawning apace to my journey's end, and I shall soon be at home." I will tell you today, as I stood there this morning and I was there in my study and I looked out the window and I saw the sun rising on this last day of 2023, and I was in the midst of going over this particular point here, and it just ran over in my mind. Oh God, it is by your goodness that I am tasting of another day. Oh, if you give me the opportunity this morning, I'll stand before our little congregation and I will encourage them that God has been the one who has brought us to this point. He has not forsaken us. He has not left us. He has not left us to our own demise, but rather He has brought us to this point. We are safe today by the grace of God. As I stand near the summit of a new year and look back at 2023, I can declare, like Samuel did out on the battlefield before the Philistines. There he took a rock and he placed it in the ground. And in 1 Samuel 7:12, he said this, "Then Samuel took a stone and he set it between Mizpah and Shin, and he called the name of the place Ebenezer, saying, 'Hitherto hath the Lord helped us.'" I can say that today, unto this point and this very moment, at about 11:35 on the 31st of December 2023, the Lord has been my helper. He's never forsaken me. He's never left me alone. He has never left me to the wiles of the enemy, but rather the promise that He made, that I will go with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. It has proven true even to this moment. Oh, like the psalmist, we can all look back and say, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side." Now may Israel say, or I could say, Abundant Life Tabernacle this morning, I believe, "Oh, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. When men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the proud waters would have surely gone over us, but the Lord was on our side, and hitherto He has helped us." At the end of another year, I can say with certainty that He has brought us safe thus far. Oh, if there's nothing else good at the end of this year, that is a good thing to think about. It is better. I can say I have found that out with more certainty in 2023. I am more assured of that reality than I've ever been in my life, that God is the one who has brought me to this point, and it is He who will go with me in the days that are ahead. My next point is this. My next thought or consideration, not only does He that has brought us safe thus far, but number two, as we come to the close of another year, I'm reminded, as one chapter ends, another one begins. It's a cycle of life. Solomon writes about it there in Ecclesiastes. He said, "There's nothing new under the sun. One generation comes, another one passes away." Oh, in other words, things have continued from the beginning as they always are. And as one chapter is closing this morning, 2023 is about to be numbered with the things that were. Think about that. We are a few hours from 2023 being completely in the past. It will be a memory. It will not be a present reality. Perhaps some would say that they wish that 2023, they could live it over to make good on opportunities that were missed, or perhaps draw closer to the Lord. But yet nonetheless, 2023 is about to be a chapter that is closed forever. We will not have the opportunity to live it anymore. Regardless of how we view this year, the pen of God's providence is about to put the period on the chapter and bring it to a close. I cannot help but think of how quickly time seems to pass us by. I think about the words of James chapter 4. He says, what is your life? That's a question he asks. He said, what is your life? For life is but a vapor. Anybody else finding that life is seemingly shorter and shorter? Does anybody else feel like it was just yesterday we were coming here on a Sunday morning and it was January 1st? And here we are, December 31st, we're back in church. A whole year has passed between those two points. For me, it feels very real. It feels like a vapor this morning. One chapter of our lives is coming to a close. Oh, God is about to put the period on it. And if he tarries tonight at 11:59, when it strikes 12 o'clock, that chapter will close and it will be gone forever, because life is short. It is but a vapor. And it passes away here today and gone tomorrow. Another year has evaporated right before our eyes. I pray that we have used this year for the glory of God, because once it is passed us by, then it cannot be redeemed or recovered. Oh, as one chapter closes, though, another chapter begins. You know what? 2023 is quite an interesting year, because I already mentioned it, but January 1st and December 31st both fall on Sundays. I don't know if you remember that, but I do as the pastor. I remember January 1st, 2023 was a Sunday. And I got up here and I preached two sermons to you on Sunday morning and one on Sunday night. And you probably don't remember what they are, but that's okay. I'll just remind you, I preached about redeeming the time. That's what I preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night, because I said we're going to have a whole year, if the Lord tarries, to make the very most of our time. Sunday morning, I preached out of Ephesians chapter 5 when Paul admonishes the church in Ephesus to redeem the time. And Sunday night, I preached out of Colossians chapter 4, where he gives the church at Colossae the same exact exhortation to redeem the time. Well, that word redeem simply means to buy out of the hands of a person, to secure for oneself or for one's own uses, to rescue from loss or misapplication. Can I tell you, if you didn't do that in 2023, it's too late really to do that. There's not much time left to redeem in 2023. Oh, but you know what? We have hope if the Lord tarries for 2024. Because as one chapter closes, God begins to write a new chapter. If the Lord tarries and allows us, we can buy up the time that we have, secure it for its proper use, and rescue it from being squandered and misapplied. If you have some areas in your life that you look back over 2023 and you feel like, I could have redeemed that time a little better, oh, you know what? As this chapter's coming to a close and we reflect upon the fact of how brief life is and how it's like a vapor and it vanishes away like the mist in the morning, that as soon as the sun rises, it seems to be gone. Can I tell you, right now we are getting ready to be afforded another opportunity if the Lord tarries. Oh, let me encourage you like I did on the first day of this year, on this last day of 2023, going into 2024. Make the very most of the time that God gives us. I'm going to share with you two quotes I shared with you on January 1st. I know you don't remember them. That's why I'm going to share them again. Two timeless quotes from the sermon I preached on New Year's Day 2023. First one goes like this. It's a poem. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time then ran. When older still I grew, time flew. Soon I shall find it traveling on. Time is surely gone. That is the reality of time. I find I'll be 30 years old in 2024, July, if the Lord tarries. And I can tell you, I feel like right now at 29, time is traveling faster than it was when I was 20. I can remember back 9 years, believe it or not. I feel like it's traveling by faster. Lord tarries, in a couple weeks we'll have our second child, a little boy, bring him into this world, if the Lord gives grace and allows, and I'm looking forward to that. But you know what I find out something about children? The more of them you have, the less time you got. Just ask Brother Derek if you don't believe me. Ask him how much free time he gets. Not much. But I'll tell you one thing. I've also asked the Lord, Lord, help me as this chapter closes and another one begins to not squander the opportunity of time, because once it is gone, it will be gone forever. Just like this year, once the time stamp has been closed and once the pen of providence has put a period on that year, it will be gone forever and it will be but a memory. Reminded of the words of C.T. Studd, another quote I gave you on New Year's Day 2023. He said these words. He said, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. The missionary to Africa, who said that he would rather have set up a mission within a yard of hell than to live within the sound of chapel bells, because he realized that life is going to pass by and one day we were going to find that life is over for us and we don't have any more tomorrows. Oh, but what have we done with our todays is what's going to really matter, because that is going to be the substance of our life. Our life should not be lived in the past, and it cannot be lived in the tomorrow. It is lived today, one day at a time. And every day that we get is a gift from God. And as one chapter, every day is another chapter that God is writing in our lives. And as one chapter comes to a close, God opens another chapter. How are we going to let the providence of God write this next chapter in our lives? Because as one chapter closes, another one begins. The third consideration that I would like to share with you concerning the end of 2023 is that God doesn't leave projects unfinished. Aren't you glad that the end of the year is not the end of God's working in our lives? God, you got to get it all done before December 31st, because January 1st might be the end of the deadline. Heaven might run out of the budget on doing the construction projects in our life. Imagine. Some of you probably have been here before. I know some of you have, because I've talked with you. You hire a construction company to renovate part of your home. And they come in, they share with you all of the plans, and they lay out these blueprints, and they pull up the 3D model, and they tell you all that they're going to do with your home. So you decide, man, this is the company that I want to go with. You give them your money, you give them the down payment, you sign the contract, and 3 months into the project, when everything's ripped apart and everything's turned upside down, the house is filled with dirt and dust, all of a sudden that company decides, oh, that they can't continue your project, and they walk off the job, and they don't come back, and they leave everything half finished. How aggravating would that be? My wife probably looking at me right now saying, I feel like you're doing the same thing in our house. It's okay. I'm getting there. I'm not stopped yet. Got breath in my body. Living dog's better than a dead lion. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes said in chapter 9. Maybe just a dog, but I'm still alive for now. But imagine how frustrating that would be. But aren't you glad that God isn't done in our lives? I look at this, some areas in my life, they're still under construction, okay? He's still working on me. And you know what? There's some areas in my life he's still perfecting and making right. There's still some areas in my life. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about some areas in which he is making me more like his son. And you know what? Aren't you glad that come January 1, 2024, God's not going to have to wait for the budget to get passed in heaven? He's not going to have to wait on the United States Congress to pass the bill so that heaven can give the rest of the funding for the budget, but rather what he has started, he will continue. Oh, that's what Paul declares in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, God's still at work in us. You said, Brother Shane, this year comes to a close, and I feel like there's some areas that really, I'm getting a little worried why this ain't making any more progress. Can I tell you, God's not done working in it yet. Oh, this isn't the end of it yet. And can I promise you this? As long as God is working in your life, the end result will always be better than the beginning. You know what I think about? It's like this. How many remember the joy on the day that you got saved? My, felt like you could walk on clouds and high-five angels. I'm being funny. I'm just saying, I don't really know how to describe it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. The day that you got saved. But can I tell you, that's just the beginning of it. When God gets done with us, you know what? We're going to see him as he is, and we shall be like him. God isn't finished yet, because he doesn't start something and stop halfway. If there are unfinished projects in our lives that are not making any forward progress, I can promise you it's not because God isn't willing to do the work. It's because we have shut down the project by our own disobedience, by our own unwillingness, by our own callousness, whatever it is not on God, because that which he begins, he desires to work it to completion. And oh, I say, God, I can find rest and comfort in that, that you're not done yet. Oh, Psalm 138 and verse 8, the psalmist declares, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. I don't know, maybe it's not the best way to render that, but I think of it this way. The psalmist says this, Lord, you're going to keep working on me. And I know this, that your mercy lasts forever. And if it takes eternity for you to get it right and to work in my life and do the work, your mercy will last just that long. Your mercy endures forever, and you will perfect that which concerneth me. Oh, God is still at work. And as we enter into a new year and one draws to a close, we can rejoice because God is still at work. Isaiah 46 and 3. Isaiah says these words, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. No, we are not Jacob and we are not Israel, but we have been born again, and we are now the sons and, if you will, the daughters of God. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to your hoar hairs or your white hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you. Do you believe that God is going to continue to do it? Because he isn't done yet. His work is not completed. The year might be finished, but God isn't. Hallelujah. I said the year might be done. We might be getting ready to close out the year, but the project of God is not closed down in our lives. He is still going to be faithful. And then final point, consideration I want to bring our minds to, is about the end of 2023 is simply that a better end is promised. This might be, as I said, God's still working. But I want to take this one step further. In all reality, December 31st of 2023 and January 1st of 2024 are both just days. In all reality, they're both two 24-hour days, and we have not seen January 1st. We may not see January 1st, but if God tarries, we will. The event of these days may be very different, but they are measured in the same period of time. But as we consider the words of Solomon, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. I want to say this, believer, be patient, because there is a better end coming. This year might not end the best way that we could have imagined. It might not be ending how we pictured ourselves in 2023, but can I tell you there's a better end coming for believers? This statement is most applicable for believers. For us, there is a better end that is promised. Our lives will end in deathless sleep one day. Oh, glory to God. Got your Bible, 2 Corinthians 5. I want to read quite a few verses here. And I'm going to close up with these words, and I got one illustration and then my conclusion. I'm going to go back over my points real quick, remind you what I said, and I'm going to let you go. Do something the devil don't do and leave you alone for a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, we have a better end promise. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Quite literally, Paul says this. I'm going to make one comment here. Move on, read on some more. So keep your Bibles open. He says, he compares our earthly body right now to a tent. He said, and if right now my tent was to be folded up, he said, I know this, that I have a home in glory. If right now I pull up the tent stakes and God decides that life is done for me right now, I have a better home awaiting me, an eternal home. Verse number 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, God's not going to leave us without a place to dwell, but rather, for believers, we shall be found with him. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Let me stop right there. Paul says we don't just desire for glory just to die, because nobody wants to die, right? Anybody wake up every day and say, man, I hope I die today. If you do, please come to me. We will talk. We can pray together. I'm not being fun, I'm being serious. It sounds somewhat comical, but it's true. There's some people that they feel that way. That's not, Paul's not embracing the suicidal mentality that says, oh, I want to die. All I want to do is die. It's not the advice of Job's wife that says, curse God and die. That's not what he's saying. He said, if we desire for this tabernacle to be removed, it's so that we can get a better one. You know what I say? If I desire for this body to die, it's because I know I'm going to get a better one. I'm going to get one that is immortal and will live forever. He goes on to say these words. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Verse number 5, excuse me. Now he that hath wrought us for the same selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest or the down payment of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Paul says, there is a better end coming. Oh, this life isn't all there is, but there is a better end. Oh, if you will, an endless eternity. As I come to bring this thing, I'm going to remind you of these things. I want to say one thing. How many of us understand the fact that there's no place like home? I got some people that I go visit at times, and we go different places, visit church meetings sometimes, and I enjoy those things. But there's nothing like coming home and staying in my own bed. But you know what? That's just a temporary thing, and it's going to pass away one day. That's just a temporary end, a place where I lay my head here. It's more than Christ had in his life. Oh, but I love my home. But there will come a day when I get to my eternal home. Oh, that's a better end. I will there at last be at home with him. Can I encourage you today, believer, there's a better end coming. the end of this year might not find you where you thought it would have found you, but can I tell you, oh, this may be the end of a year. Oh, but it is not the end that God has promised for believers, because there is something better promised for us unto those who have hope. As every person stands all over this building, first, there's joyful remembrance, because as this year comes to an end, we have been brought safe thus far by the grace of God. How many can lift your hand and say, I'm one of those? I've been brought safe thus far. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Oh, but by the grace of God, I'm safe thus far. Second, there is a responsibility. As one chapter ends, if the Lord tarries, another chapter is going to begin. We're going to have a brand new year. You know what I pray? Whenever 2024 ends, it finds you closer to Christ than 2023 ended. Third, God's continued work in us. God isn't done. He's still working. He's still moving. He is still desiring to do more in and through our lives. And finally, our future reward. This isn't the end. Oh, another letter of John Newton. He said these words to another friend. He said, with new years comes new mercies. Aren't you glad for it today? I'm going to face 2024 with brand new mercy. It'll be not only a new day, but it'll be new mercy. Because we are in the middle of the storyline of grace. A new year brings new anticipation of new mercies from Christ. The new year is an opportunity to pause on the path and to stand humbly on the hilltop of time, to look back on grace that has been received, and to cherish the sustaining grace that is upholding us even now. Are you grateful for it today? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. Solomon declared that the end of a thing is better than the beginning. Lord, if you should tarry and allow for us to see the end of 2024, I pray that we could declare that statement that Solomon declared with boldness, that the end of it was better than the beginning. Because not because life has been fair, or not because circumstances have always been easy, but because God is faithful and will bring us all the way. Lord, if you tarry, I pray that you keep your hand upon us, that you would work in our lives, and the good work that you have started in us, perform it against that day. And Lord, help us always to remember that there is a better end that is promised. The end of life here on this side of eternity is just the beginning of our existence with you. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister, you would work in our lives, encourage us, strengthen us, and let us look for the day of your return. And Lord, we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. I appreciate you. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.